Now, to celebrate International Women's Day, the Sydney Opera House has its sixth straight year continued its All About Women symposium, bringing speakers from across the globe to discuss the past, present and future of feminism. And to tell us all about this year's lineup, we are joined by festival creator Edwina Throsby. Good afternoon, Edwina.
Hi, Mick. How are you doing?
Really well, thanks. Thanks for joining us on 2SER today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Now, with all the different waves of feminism, one thing for sure is that we still have a long way to go from gender equality. Do you think that over the last few years we've made any sort of advance as a society towards this sort of backslide, or are we backsliding back towards conservative concepts and things like that in terms of gender?
Look, if you'd asked me 6 months ago, I would have said I don't think we've been making much progress because it really did feel like, various big political moments, particularly in the United States, were sort of heralding reasonably retrograde things for women. So, you know, the Trump administration, for example, was elected on an explicitly anti-abortion platform. I think that administration very quickly started trying to bring in legislation that was sort of aimed at a kind of conservative social agenda, which is often against the interests of women. Although you have to remember that 53% of white women actually voted for Trump, so we can't be misty-eyed about that.
Yeah.
But in Australia, you know, similarly, I think there has been a series of decisions made at various levels of government that have not gone in the direction that the people that sort of put together the Sex Discrimination Act back in the 1970s and then sort of bolstered it in the 1990s would have thought was progressive. But I think what we've seen in the last little while with particularly the #MeToo movement is a real coming together of female voices and female identifying voices globally to say this is what we have been putting up with for generations cannot continue.
And indeed, and speaking of the Me Too movement, you've of course, Tracy Spicer has been a bit of a spearhead in this. And of course, she's got lots more, I think, to come. But she has been doing a lot of research and talking to people about the past and their experiences with the Me Too idea that women are being treated in such a way in the industry that hasn't been revealed before. And finally, people are feeling more, I guess, empowered to come out and actually talk about it. And people are listening a lot more than they have before as well, which is fantastic. There's a session that you've got going as part of All About Women, which has got Tracy Spicer in it. This is very exciting.
Yeah, no, we had, I mean, while I was programming this festival, the Me Too thing blew up. And it was just not something that we could ignore. I mean, it really felt, even at the time that it exploded, it felt like something that was only going to get bigger. And I guess that was just because, you know, it wasn't just, you know, a few or even many women that could identify with the sort of issues of, you know, constant slight fear for one's personal safety in every situation. You know, everybody has a story of harassment. Everybody has a story, you know, and they're on a spectrum, of course. Some are really violent. Some are just icky, but they're an incredibly common experience. And so with that sort of weight, it just seemed really clear that now finally people seem to be paying attention and listening, that this was only going to get bigger. So I spoke to Tracy, who was really keen to come and join the panel, and also we have Tarana Burke, who was the woman that started Me Too as an idea 10 years ago with her work with underprivileged women in Brooklyn in New York. She was the one that actually started talking about Me Too and turned that into, you know, what became, what sort of birthed what became the meme, you know, way before the Hollywood actresses got onto it and turned it into a global phenomenon. So she's going to be appearing via Live Cross from LA into that panel as well.
Oh, that's great. That'll be a really amazing experience for people to get along to.
That one actually is also going to be live streamed on Facebook. So so even if you don't have a ticket to that event, you can actually get onto our Facebook page and watch that in real time as it happens on the 4th of March.
Oh, that's excellent. That'll be really good to watch. Now, you're chairing a panel as well, a panel with Barbara Crane, Ann Summers, Rebecca Walker and Akia Louie. It's called Suffragettes to Social Media, Waves of Feminism. This sounds like a real interesting one as well, going spanning a lot of time here.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was really that's something that was really pretty important to me, that panel, because I kept on talking to women, particularly young women, like in their late teens and early 20s, who were super passionate feminists, but didn't kind of have an amazingly clear idea about what had gone before and the kind of movements that had happened and what motivated movements before. I mean, feminist history isn't really taught in high schools, you know what I mean?
Sure.
It's something that a lot of people sort of seek out, but it's not on curriculum.
Yeah.
So what I wanted to do, you know, as part of International Women's Day, and also because we've had a feminist movement in the West for about 100 years. You know, it's hard to put precise dates on these things, but I just wanted to kind of have an event which really acknowledged the women that had gone before and the activists that had gone before and what they'd done and how far they'd brought us. But also to kind of be a bit more practical, you know, think about what worked for people in the 1970s, what worked for people in the 1990s, you know, what's working for people now. And I thought if we could get a sort of intergenerational discussion happening that looked at the future and looked at, you know, we've got this movement, it feels like a moment in feminist history, you know, right now in 2018.
Yeah.
How can we make sure that the lessons of the past are learned and applied to the future?
Well, that's a really good idea because, like as you say, people have to sometimes seek these things out and realize that women have been fighting the fight for so long. But
it
just seems like it keeps on coming back to the fact that people think they're not getting anywhere. But so many things have changed because of the fight that women have done over such a long time.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, when you actually think about how much has changed, you know, in just 100 years, which in, you know, the course of human history is not that long.
Yeah.
When you think how much has changed in that time and then how much has changed again since, you know, the 1960s, 1970s. I mean, that's actually encouraging. You know, it makes you realise that in another few decades, you know, if the same sort of change can happen in the next 30 years as happened in the past 30 years, then we're doing all right.
We're getting there. We're getting there. One of the another country that's really taking some changes recently and maybe going against a whole, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years of tradition is Saudi Arabia. And Manal al-Sharif is coming out. She's famous for being arrested and imprisoned for driving driving her car, where until this year it was illegal for females to drive vehicles in Riyadh.
Well, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, that's completely mind-blowing. And when you think about it too, I mean, Manal is so sort of brave. I mean, she's an activist first and foremost. And,
yeah.
and for her, it started off as an issue of sort of, you know, basic equality and safety as well, because a lot of the drivers that she and her female family and friends were being required to use were kind of sketchy and you know, they didn't like being alone in the car with these drivers. And so, so it was a real thing about independence, but also a really symbolic thing. You know, I mean, you know, literally being able to drive your own destiny, to be able to choose where you go, to be able to have that control is massive. And I mean, Manal continues to fight for, you know, a whole bunch of rights that to a westernized seem pretty basic. But one of the other things that Manal's wanting to do is really sort of address a lot of the misconceptions that that people in the West have about Arab women and about what they can and can't do, because I think that there is quite a gulf actually in understanding. And one of the things that I'm trying to do with this festival more broadly is to bring together women from a bunch of different cultures, sort of look at what brings them together a lot more than what makes them different.
That's a fantastic idea, and it's really, really great. And you've been working for a long time on this, it appears. Are there any that you're really proud of, any events that you're looking at and going, I'm really excited for this to be on display?
Oh, look, I don't know, it's like asking which is your favourite child or something. What I like about this festival is that there are a couple of panels where sort of intersectional ideas are really, really being interrogated, by which you know, really foregrounding the idea that, you know, if you are a woman with a disability, then being a woman and being a feminist is, you know, quite possibly a very important part of your identity. But being, you know, a wheelchair user or somebody with, you know, an intellectual disability or something like that is just as much part of your identity and just as much part of your lived experience, and kind of plays into the way that you're oppressed in ways that potentially, you know, cis women that are able-bodied wouldn't necessarily understand. So it's finding ways that we can all, as feminists, come together. So we have a panel that looks that has a bunch of super radical disability activists on it. I mean, that is going to be an absolutely kick-ass panel, that one, because the women on the panel about disability and intersectionality are fierce, right, and awesome, and don't hold back. And I think that's going to be a really good one. I think the panel where we're inviting a group of trans activists to come together and talk about how feminism makes space for trans politics. Similarly, I mean, you know, I think in the last sort of 10 years or more, I mean, you know, for a long time more, but really properly in the last few years, the idea of intersectionality has really sort of reached the mainstream. And I think that being able to provide a public forum in which those sort of ideas are really discussed for a sort of general public audience is really great.
Sure is. And you are covering a lot of topics all in one day at the Sydney Opera House on the 4th of March. Jump onto sydneyoperahouse.com and click on All About Women there. You'll see it's covering talks and music. There's some great bands playing. There's food and drink workshops. Some are filling up quickly, so you've got to get on quickly if you want to see some of these panels, because the tickets are still available, but it's on in about a week and a half. So people should jump on quick smart, right?
That's right. Get to it. I mean, it's sold out super fast this year. Some sessions are sold out, but there's still a lot more incredibly cool stuff yet to go. So I hope to see you all there.
Indeed. Thank you so much for joining us on 2SER, and good luck with the event.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Cheers. That's Edwina Throsby right there, the curator of All About Women, which is on at the Sydney Opera House on the 4th of March. Like I said, tickets are selling quickly for a lot of the events, but there's still heaps of tickets available for certain ones. SydneyOperaHouse.com is where you should go. Click on All About Women and check out the huge array